Grace and peace to you this Easter morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the year 2006, a great Christian scholar by the name of Yaroslav Pelikan died. He is well remembered for many things. Among them, a quote of his that appeared in a Yale University newsletter near the end of his life. And Dr. Pelikan said this, "If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not, nothing else matters." There is no historical claim more important than the one passed down for many centuries through the Christian church, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It is the foundation upon which the Christian faith is built. It is a teaching that affects the life of every person who has ever lived or who will ever live. It is a teaching that affects the life of every person sitting in this sanctuary today. The Apostle John reveals in John 5, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." I was blessed during our recent vacation to read a book loaned to me by Mr. Don Hoyer of our congregation. It is called Jesus on Trial by David Limbaugh. I would recommend that you read this book. It's on sale now at Amazon.com. I can tell you that because I bought 4 copies. It's one of the best books I have ever read. And it will help equip you to answer questions and hopefully share the faith. Although Limbaugh used to be a skeptic himself, he goes on to explain in clear terms the arguments, evidence, and most importantly, biblical passages that led him to embrace Jesus Christ as his Savior. Dave Limbaugh is a lawyer, among other things. And he is another one who has used his training in the legal profession to help him in his search for the truth about God. In the legal profession, the term beyond a reasonable doubt is often used as a standard of truth that must be met. And on the basis of his research, Limbaugh believes that there is an enormous amount of evidence that shows, well beyond a reasonable doubt, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that God entered this world in human form with the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus led a sinless life, and that he was crucified, died to pay for our sins, and was resurrected on the third day. Once a great skeptic, he now believes all these things. And he urges all who hear or read about them to believe them as well. Today, let's look at part of the tremendous reservoir of evidence that supports the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his book, Limbaugh lists 9 main points of support and evidence. And I'm going to share just 5 of them with you today. Please pick up your bulletin and turn it over so you're looking at the back of it. And now open it to the inside page. And on the inside of the back page, at the bottom paragraph, you should see a paragraph titled, "He is Risen." Karen did a good job of placing it in the bulletin there. I'd like you to follow these 5 points as I briefly go over them. It will strengthen your faith, but it will also equip you, if you learn them, to share with others, especially if God should give you the opportunity. Point number 1 is the tomb was empty. And everybody I've ever read, believer or non-believer, seems to agree the tomb was empty. Of course, the New Testament is filled with passages verifying the tomb was empty. But even the unbelieving Jews, and there were believing Jews, but most of the leaders were not, even the unbelieving Jews verified the tomb was empty when some of them made up the ridiculous story, without one detail to support it, that the disciples had stolen the body. Well, when they say the disciples stole the body, they're verifying that the tomb was empty. Point number 2, there were a great number of witnesses. We are told in 1 Corinthians that Jesus showed himself on one occasion to more than 500 people. In the 40 days following his crucifixion, he made at least 12 resurrection appearances. There was a great Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, who was born 4 years after Jesus was crucified. And in his account, a historical account titled Jewish Antiquities, he referred twice to this Jesus. He spent a lot of time interviewing his followers because there was so much talk around the city about him. And they insisted that they had seen him after he was crucified on a cross. Josephus even goes so far as to say that it was quite possible that Jesus was the Messiah. Point number three, there was a huge change in the life of the disciples. This is a very important support of the truth of the resurrection. And our senior pastor, Mark Matzke, is, God willing, going to preach on that next Sunday with his message, Resurrection Evidence. He will touch on that in some way. I hope you are here to hear it. It will further strengthen you and your witness. Number 4 is the conversion of Paul, formerly an enemy of Christianity. On the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the risen Christ. There is no other reasonable explanation for the dramatic change in Paul's life. From a worldly standpoint, he had it made. And what did he do? He gave it all up to live for the one he had tried to destroy. And point number 5, the message that Jesus was resurrected from the dead enabled the church to survive and spread rapidly. the truth of the resurrection was essential to the teaching of the early church. Remember, Jesus had been crucified and buried around the Jerusalem area. If the tomb had not been empty and the disciples convinced of his resurrection, we would certainly have expected Christianity soon would have been wiped out. In our gospel today, Matthew relates after the Sabbath and on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb. It was a day I'm sure they never forgot. They met an angel of the Lord there. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." And what the angel said to the women on the first day of the week is pretty much what our Lord says to every Christian today. He's quoted at the front of our bulletin. In the St. Mark mission statement, we have this quote from Jesus Christ. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Don't miss this, those of you who are believers. Jesus is counting on his church to be his witnesses. He says, "He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Sometimes we're hesitant to do this. And I believe that a good part of that is because many people do not understand what witnessing is. Witnessing is simply telling someone in some way the good news about Jesus Christ. We are not responsible for the results, but we are responsible for sharing the good news. And it can be done in so many ways in this day and age. You can invite someone to your church where they will hear a biblical message preached by someone trained to do so. It can be in a discussion when you ask someone what they believe about God or about Jesus. I did this recently. And you find out where they are at, and then you can give a witness to them using some of these points or using a personal testimony from your life. You can give someone a Christian pamphlet or a book for them to read. I'll be doing that with my grandson today. He doesn't know it, but I bought a copy of this book for him and I'm going to present it after he attends service. One of my best teachers on sharing the faith taught me a principle I have never forgotten. It's this: successful witnessing is sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. We don't convert people. The Holy Spirit does. Leave the results to God. David Limbaugh could tell you something about that. Years after he graduated from law school, there was a reunion at the home of one of his classmates. And as they got well into the evening, the subject of religion came up. And he is well into adulthood now, and he made the statement to the group, "I just can't buy into Christianity." And a man named Steve Springer, who owned that home, got up and left the room. And he came back with his Bible. And he didn't argue with David Limbaugh. He was willing to listen to what David had to say. But he had a few things to share also. Why he believed in Jesus. Limbaugh didn't leave that home a Christian that night. But from that point forward, he had a great interest in finding out whether what his classmates said was true. And he had the joy, years later, of meeting and telling his classmate that with those words that night, he planted seeds that led David Limbaugh to come and believe in Jesus Christ. Our text says that the woman departed from the tomb with great joy. I hope that's how you leave here today. There is a great joy in sharing the good news about Jesus. God blesses you when you do that, and He strengthens your own faith. As there are many people who would tell you that they have experienced great joy because someone cared enough about them to share the news about Jesus Christ with them. And finally, the Holy Scriptures tell us that the greatest joy for Christians is yet to come. For Jesus is quoted in John 11:25 as saying to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." And Jesus rose from the dead to prove it. Amen.